Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Is there such a thing as good dirt, and are we keeping our modern homes just too clean? Well, just as maintaining a healthy balance of microbes in our bodies is key to keeping illness at bay, some experts suggest a healthy mix of microbes in our home may positively influence our health and well-being also. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Primrose Freestone, who is Senior Lecturer in Microbiology at the University of Leicester. Good morning, Primrose.
Good morning.
Lovely to talk to you again. And I have a sense from our previous conversations how you feel about dirt. And I wonder whether you think that there is such a thing as good dirt in the home.
Good dirt in the home. It depends actually what, in terms of germs, is present in the dirt. Okay. And one of the reasons that we actually live to the age that we do now, okay, which has been a massive sort of progress in the last 100 years or so, is because of dealing with that dirt in the home. Now, dirt is important because we get the bacteria and the fungi that live there. We get antibiotics from them. So it is a good source. And also, the dirt, the germs, the bacteria present in the dirt will certainly for children help to train their immune system to actually recognise the right microorganisms. So rather than sort of recognise something inappropriate like peanuts will have dust mites and it gives rise to allergies and asthma conditions, okay, dirt at the right time of life can actually help to train the immune system to recognise the right triggers. In terms of dirt, though, as a kind of presence in the house, not really, okay. The reason that we have hygiene,
I knew
we wash
it.
Our hands... Yeah, well, I knew it was going to come. All right, I'm sorry. But whether you like it or not, okay, a lot of the hygiene practices we have at home, keeping surfaces clean, washing your hands before and after going to the toilet, before and after handling food, that is all about getting rid of the dirt that's actually come from whatever you're handling. So I have to say, dirt has got a soil contaminants, anything that makes you look dirty, okay, that has got a role to play in training your immune system. But once you get to about 5 or 6, that's when the hygiene starts coming in and you train your children to wash their hands properly.
Okay,
so
then
the answer is dirt is good in the right place.
In the right place. So it's not healthier then for us to have a home that's a little bit dirty.
Well, I've got a fridge magnet that says my home is clean enough to be healthy, but dirty enough to be happy.
Mm.
And that is pretty much how I kind of live my life. So food hygiene, personal hygiene, very important, particularly if any one of your family is immunocompromised, is on cancer sort of treatment and so on. Okay. Washing your hands, if somebody's actually sort of ill in the house, again, will help prevent transmission of whatever the infection is. So hygiene is important for keeping health, and there's no doubt whatsoever the improvement in hygiene in homes and in society is one of the reasons that we have increased life expectancy. So I have to say, dirt is good in the right place, but not necessarily in the home.
Okay. So we have to have a healthy balance and know exactly why we're cleaning and what we are cleaning. So you talk then about good hand hygiene, surface hygiene. So we've got to make sure that we know we are doing that and the reasons we're doing that. We're trying to avoid illness. We're trying to avoid nasty bugs spreading around the place. But if we have younger children, are you saying that with all of the other stuff, like keeping the place absolutely spotless with not a speck of dust, might actually be the wrong strategy?
Absolutely. There's something called the hygiene hypothesis. As I said, your immune system learns to recognise what it needs to protect you as a person against and what is actually not harmful. And it's certainly been shown that children that are raised in very, very sterile environments, their immune systems are not as protective and sometimes recognise inappropriate things, as I said, like nuts and so on. That wouldn't happen if they'd been allowed to play outside with the dogs and had eaten a dandelion or something like that, which is what I did a lot when I was a child.
So that exposure actually helps them in the long run?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you need to have that exposure at the right time. So don't stop your children playing outside. But when they come in to have their food, make sure that they do properly wash their hands. Get the hand hygiene thing sorted, because the hands are often the route by which germ-causing, disease-causing microorganisms get into your system. So hands, you know, sort of fecal mouth, hand route. So therefore, it's a good idea to actually get the idea to make sure that hand hygiene is always good. And then, of course, make sure that your food is kept appropriately. There's good sort of clean surfaces. And keep an eye on use-by dates and best-before dates as well, because they're there for food safety.
So
simple practices, and the NHS sort of website in the UK have actually got lots and lots of information about sensible hygiene at home. You don't have to go over the top, but hygiene is important.
You don't have to hoover under the bed every day.
Unless, of course, you have asthma or some respiratory problem, where because under your bed there's probably been some dust mites living on skin cells and so on, you might have to actually change your practices according to the health status of the people in the house. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't, in some circumstances, hoover under the bed every day.
Okay.
In my house, we do it once a week.
Okay, and there might be people who do need to do it every day, and that's fine too. But I want to ask you about microbiome. Like, why is that so important? Explain all of that to us.
A microbiome is a community of different types of bacteria, fungi, viruses that live on you and within you. You'll find them in the soil. You find them on humans. In fact, if you count the number of cells, that's a human being, and the number of microbiome cells, we're outnumbered by about 3 or 4 to 1. You need your microbiomes in your gut for feeding your gut cells, for shaping your immune system, for protecting you from any disease-causing microorganisms, E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, and so on, that you might accidentally take in through contaminated food. So your microbiomes are part of your biology. You need them. And generally speaking, these are what's kind of called your so-called good bacteria. Microbiomes also exist in pets, and there's lots of evidence to show that the microorganisms, the bacteria and the fungi that our pets carry, we also pick up as well, and the pets also pick up some of our bacteria too. And microbiomes, these, if you like, rainforest communities of microorganisms, they are unique to you as an individual. Even identical twins won't have the same microbiome.
So it's like it's like a fingerprint, really, your own microbiome,
yeah.
Your human. And is it the same for the home then, that the home will have a microbiome which is unique?
Yes, it will. Because it would depend upon how often you clean your home, whether you've got children, whether you've got pets, how often you vacuum, lots and lots of things. But if you are, as a family, as individuals, are healthy and the levels of hygiene you have are good enough so that you don't come down with lots of infections, upset stomachs and colds and flus and so on, more so than normal anyway, then whatever your hygiene practice is and whatever your microbiomes are in your home, they're appropriate for you. And I must admit, at the moment, we don't really understand what the microbiomes of a building basically are, except that we know that they're there, okay? Microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, viruses are absolutely everywhere. We live in a microbial world and we're part of that.
So the human who lives in the home is going to impact the home microbiome because their skin is going to be shedding in that house or apartment or dwelling place.
Yep, and skin can have between 10 and 50,000 bacteria living on the skin, which is a bit like puff pastry. And every time you shed skin cells, you actually shed what's on them. In fact, they're called, those dust particles you can actually see in sunlight, a lot of that is actually skin cells, and they're called fomites, and they can actually transfer, particularly sort of viruses like COVID, respiratory infections. So one of the things about opening windows and sort of airing your house, that's really kind of related to that, to keeping the dust levels in your house down.
Mm. I'm just wondering, though, if we're cleaning with bleach or hardcore detergents, are we disrupting that lovely microbiome that has been built up in our home?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Well, because, you love bleach. I know that, Primrose.
I know, I do love bleach. Okay. Even in my office now, I've actually got a couple of bleach sprays, actually. So, yeah, but I'm a microbiologist. Having said that, though, there's microorganisms in the air. So you can clean the surface, but 30 minutes later, they'll actually come back. All you can do is keep the levels down. And that requires repeat cleaning whenever you need to actually work on the surface, particularly involving food.
Mm-hmm. Because people will focus on areas like the kitchen and the bathroom for the, you know, the hardcore cleaning. Do you think there's anywhere else we need to be thinking about, or would you be happy enough if the kitchen, bathroom and the hands were kept very clean?
I'd be happy if they were kept clean, but don't forget the rest of the house, particularly the bedrooms, okay, and also door handles. They are remarkably well colonised by microorganisms, and they might even have their own microbiome. If they're not cleaned fairly regularly. And in fact, one of the ways of reducing things like upset stomach and transmission through the family is just to get an antiseptic spray and spray the handles on the doors.
Yeah, a good idea. And people who have young children in their homes will know all about the sticky door handle, which is a frequent occurrence.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
not a good
and
thing.
A sticky door handle will have lots of things growing on it.
Nice. listen, can we...
One thing I will say, yeah, though, about homes is humidity, water vapour levels in the air. That can actually sort of contribute to the growth of fungi, you know, black moulds on surfaces. That is something that, because it can cause respiratory problems and infections, you really need to get, you know, a grip on. So if you see anything that looks visible, sticky, smelly, or is actually looks mouldy, you know, especially in bathrooms and kitchens, and you can also get them in bedrooms as well. Make sure that you actually, well, get the bleach out. It works very well on it.
Oh, does it? I didn't know that. I thought you had to deal with the root cause, because you've obviously got a damp problem there, haven't you, if you've got black mould?
Yeah. But the first thing you do is get rid of the mould that's present, okay, if you're still going to have to live in that environment, and then deal with whatever is the source of the damp.
All right, if you can, but often that leads to a lot of expense, and we've heard stories of that here where people are in terrible trouble, particularly in some rented properties. In fact, there's a story in one of the papers today about a family living with a black mould problem and the difficulties it's causing them. But anyway, we will leave it there, Primrose. Lovely to talk to you as always. Have fun with your bleach sprays in the office, and I know you'll be using them regularly. That's Dr. Primrose Freestone, who is microbiologist at the University of Leicester.